Psalm 127. I'd like to read one verse tonight and then share a few thoughts with us from this wonderful psalm. Psalm 127, verse number 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Our Father, we're so thankful tonight for the wonderful privilege we have to be in this place, to be able to gather together as men, women, and young people for the purpose of worshiping and honoring our great God. We hear through testimonies how God works and continues to work in the lives of people. We realize tonight that if it were not for what you have done in our lives, we would not be here tonight. And we thank you for that. We thank you how you continue to work, how you continue to see the needs of your people. We thank you that you not only provide us with a wonderful salvation that guarantees us eternal life in a place called heaven, but you so prepare us and work in us and equip us that you allow us to be able to live here on this earth that oftentimes is controlled by the God of this world. And yet our God looks after his people and keep his people. We thank you for that. I thank you for the time to preach the word of God tonight. I pray that you take me as your servant, that you might cleanse me of any sin, empty me of self, fill me with thine Holy Spirit. Bless the preaching of God's holy word. We ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The 127th Psalm was probably recorded by Solomon, though his name is not given to this particular psalm. But we believe it was penned by Solomon. Solomon, of course, you know, was the wisest man that ever lived. Therefore, when you think about all of his wisdom and all of the knowledge and all that he saw and all that he knew and all that he did, when he penned this particular psalm, he gives us something that a wise man had learned by experience and by what he's seen in his life. He makes a statement here in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Now, if I understand what that means, it tells me something, that God's in the building business. In other words, if anything is ever built that's going to last, it's built by God. We are simply tools. We are simply vessels. And by the way, when we become saved by the grace of God, when we empty ourselves of self, then we become filled with His Spirit, then God begins to build something that's going to last for His honor and glory. So I've learned over the years, after being saved for 35 years and pastoring now for 30 years and preaching for 32 years, I've learned something. Except God builds, all of our labor, all of our toil, all of our effort is nothing but vain. So Solomon says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. But he goes on to say in that verse, he says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. In other words, you can put a watchman out there on every corner to watch out for the city. He can watch out for the enemy and what direction he may come. But except the Lord keep the city, when the watchman waketh, it's nothing but vain. Now, when I put those two statements together in that verse, I learned something about Christianity. I learned something about the church. I've learned something about the family. I've learned something about the preacher. I learned something about the Christian. I learned something about the young person. Except the Lord build that family, or build that house, or build that church, or build that Christian, or build that preacher, everything else, education, training, reading, planning, it's all in vain. And once God saves us, once God calls us, once God enables us, once God gives us something to do, once God plans something in our life, once God brings two people together that they may become a husband and a wife or a family, once God builds that, except the Lord keep it, we waketh, but in vain. In other words, God builds, and then God keeps what He builds. If God builds something and it collapses, I've got to ask myself, did God build it? If all of a sudden God does something in my life and all of a sudden the enemy gets in and he takes over, according to what the Bible tells us, God builds and God keeps that which He builds. There's a whole lot of building going on today that's built by a man, built by an individual, built by a person, built by a life. And the wisest man that ever lived that says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the watch, the Lord keepeth the city. The watchman waketh, but in vain. That tells me that God is in the building business, and God is in the keeping business. And I need Him in my life, in your life, and the church needs Him in its life. Many of you probably don't know, but this is the last Sunday that I'm going to preach before we transition. And there's another preacher. This is not the last time I'm going to preach, but it's the last time I'm going to preach as the senior pastor of this local church. The next time you hear me preach, I'll preach the same. Preach is hard. But I won't be the senior pastor of this church. And as I was thinking about this, and time kind of slips up kind of quickly on you when you're getting older. But about 29 years ago, in a banquet room in a hotel in Northwest Washington, D.C., and I looked out in that banquet room where those chairs were set up, and I looked and I didn't see a crowd this size. There probably were not more than 30 there that Sunday morning on July 25th, 1982. But I looked out upon that and I didn't look at the building. I didn't look at the size. I didn't look at everything that was going on. What I looked at was the fact that I was looking at a church. It was church that I believe when it was running 30 was a local New Testament church. And I looked out there that particular Sunday morning, and I looked out there with all vigor, about 30 years younger and a little bit more energy, and looked out at those few people that I was trying to hold on to, and I looked at them and I thundered and thundered and thundered at that group, and I said this, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I was telling him that 10-month-old local New Testament church,
If this church is going to be built, if this church is going to last for 1 year or 2 years or 5 years, it's not going to be because of who comes through the doors. It's not going to be because of a preacher. It's not going to be because of the group of people. It's going to be because there's a God in heaven that says, I'm in the building business, and what I build, I keep. And I preach that message 29 plus years ago and believed with all of my heart, if the Northwest Baptist Temple at that time, which is now the Crossroads Baptist Church, if one day it would get out of the banquet room, it would someday build a building, it would someday run more than 30 and more than 100 and more than 200, and it would start churches and reach people, it wasn't going to be because of this man, of that group of people. It was going to be because God built the house.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I want tonight, this is probably a good way to go out. Kind of like how I started. And boy, I can go a little bit harder tonight because I got more than 30. And let me tell you something. You lose one out of the 30 back in those days, you were hurting. Especially if one out of the, you only had six given. So you kind of tiptoed a little bit. You make sure you didn't run one of those six off. You found that one that you looked out there and said, that's probably not going to make do a whole lot of good in the future. You're not going to build much. You preach hard at that one. But since we have a few more here tonight, I want to remind you something I believe with all of my heart. Crossroads Baptist Church is what it is today because God built it and God kept it and God will keep on keeping it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, I'm going to tell you how God built this church, how God builds His house, how God builds His family, how God builds His youth program, how God builds it's His missions program, how God builds His family. And we've got great families and great young people and a great children's ministry and a great choir and a lot of things. But let me tell you something. Except the Lord build it, all the talent, all the ability, all of the resources, it's nothing but vain. So how do you know? Because I've seen people go and come and go. I've seen people give and stop giving. I've seen people sing and stop singing. I've seen people show up and stop showing up. I've seen people start work and stop work. I've seen people go soul winning and stop soul winning. I've seen people do all the things you can imagine. I've seen people praise you and I've seen people condemn you. And yet God's church keep going on. You know why? Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let me tell you something. Your family will never last except God builds it.
Amen.
Your marriage will never last except God builds it. Your young person will never be what he or she needs to be except the Lord build it. God's in the business of building, building, building. And when God builds, he keeps. If your life is not what it ought to be, what it used to be, it's simply because of the fact you're not letting God build it and you're certainly not letting God keep it. God builds and God keeps what he builds. Now, the four things I believe that God does when he builds something, especially his local church. First of all, he builds his church upon, and listen to me very carefully, the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Now, some people lose that all the time. All the time you find. But the Bible tells us he, in Colossians 1:18, he, speaking of Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, that in all things he, speaking of Jesus Christ, might have the preeminence. Listen to me. No church is ever built when Jesus Christ is not preeminent. He has to be first place in the local church. How do you think you can have a diversity that we have in this place and unity at the same time if it's not based upon one person.
Right.
It's based upon Jesus Christ, the preeminent. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that builds it. He builds His house upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has to be first in the church. Jesus Christ has to be first in the home. Jesus Christ has to be first in the family. He has to be first in everything that you do. And when He is preeminent, guess what? He has the authority. I remember when we were moving from Washington to Northern Virginia and was purchasing that little building up the street. I had a meeting up in the area with the ministerial association of this area. And I remember meeting there, and I remember very clearly. Keep in mind, I was a lot younger, a fairly fireball at that time, and thought I knew everything anyway. After all, I just graduated from Bible college, and every Bible college graduate thinks he knows a lot. Well, he hadn't realized that he doesn't know anything. So I'm sitting there, and one guy got up from the ministerial association and said, "Reverend, who gave you the authority to start a church out here in Virginia without coming checking with us?" And before I knew anything, I jumped up and said, "God gave me the authority. Jesus says all power, all authority is given unto Him." And I said, "Jesus told me to start the local New Testament church." And we've got to understand, if Jesus Christ is preeminent, it doesn't make any difference what you think, what you believe, what you feel. It's all about what He says. All authority has to be given to Him. Secondly, if He's preeminent, all attention has to be given to Him. Now, let me say this as humble as I can say this so that you all don't think that I've got an ego. I believe that over the past 30 years, you all have had a halfway decent preacher and a halfway decent pastor. Say amen just on my last night just to make me feel good, all right? I think you're going to have in years to come. You don't have to say amen. Say it kind of low this time. I think you're going to have a greater preacher. Amen. That's my crowd here. Tell them after he's up there right now. Just kind of wave it down a little bit, okay? But I think you're blessed, and I think you've had some outstanding men stand behind that pulpit and preach the Word of God. And over the years, these 30 years, God has given us Bible preachers and men that have stood there and preached the Word of God without compromise. And many of you stood up many times, as I've heard Brother Saunders pray almost every Saturday morning. Thank God for giving us three great pastors. He said one day, just to have one was a great thing, but God's given us three of those. And we've had a great men of God here and a great choir director and great choir and all of that. But let me tell you something. The preeminence ought to go to Jesus Christ. We're only what we are by what Jesus has done in and through our lives. And you ought to look beyond the preacher and always see Jesus. If He's preeminent, He's got to have all the authority. He's got to have all the attention, and all the activity ought to be centered around Him. That's why we practice the ordinances of baptism. We want to show the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's why we practice the Lord's Supper, because we want to talk about until He comes. It's all about Him. There's no way anything that can ever be built that's not built upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ. He gets the attention. All the activities ought to be centered around Him. And let me tell you, all the authority ought to come from Him. We ought to be able to know. That's why we open our Bibles and read our Bibles and say, "What thus saith the Lord?" And if the Lord says it, that settles it. Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain that build it. First of all, He builds His house upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ. I want you to turn to the book of Acts chapter 4 for just a moment. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Now, maybe a little bit longer, not real long than normal. I mean, after all, I do realize that tomorrow's Labor Day. And most of you have a day off, all right? So you can hang in there for a little bit longer and get a hold of this, all right? So, the Crossroads Baptist Church, your family, whatever you do, if God's building it, He's going to build it upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ. No man, no preacher, no deacon, no church member, no choir member, nobody is going to take God's place in His church. Amen. He's going to get all the attention, all the authority is going to come from Him. All the activities ought to be centered around Him. We should never have any activity that's not centered around Jesus Christ. He ought to follow us in here and ought to follow us out here. He ought to go to the picnic ground with us. He ought to go to the banquet with us. He ought to go to the golf course with us. Why? We're simply representatives of the authority that's given to us by Jesus Christ. Secondly, if the Lord builds His house, and we already seen, according to Solomon, except He build it, we labor in vain that build it. He's going to build it, first of all, upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Secondly, He's going to build it upon the power that comes through Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 4. And this is the early church. I want you to notice in verse 31, it says in Acts chapter 4, and when they had prayed and the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. Verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You know what made the early church so great? It was built upon the power of Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible says they were consistent in unity of the church. Why? They had one heart, one soul, and they had all things common. You mark it down. You cannot take a group this size, or even a group at 30, as it was 30 years ago, and have one heart, one mind, and all things common, except it's based upon the power of Jesus Christ working in the lives of people. God knew what He was doing when He put the church together. He goes on. Notice how, verse 33, you want to know how people become soul winners? You don't want to know how people go out and tell other people about Jesus Christ? The Bible says, verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. They were courageous in their witnessing. Why? Because of the power that was given to them by Jesus Christ. And by the way, the Bible makes it very clear, ye shall be witnesses. Why? After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. I've seen timid people who couldn't speak in person, timid people who are afraid to witness, get boldness in witnessing, not because all of a sudden they went and took a class on how to speak and how to communicate. All of a sudden, they really believed that Jesus died, was buried, was raised from the dead, and the power that raised Christ from the dead got a hold of that person's life, and they began to witness because they realized something. I don't save people. I go, I give. God is the one who does the work. We've had some great soul winners here over the years. And we've had timid people who've knocked on doors and told people about Jesus Christ. We've had people go on their job and witness. But it wasn't because of them. It was because of the power of God working in their lives. When it's upon the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll become consistent in unity, courageous in witnessing. Verses 34 through 37, they were committed to sacrifice for the Lord. He says, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. I mean, in a church where the power of God is working in the lives of people, people will sacrifice to help other people. There's something wrong when a church is made up of people who are capable of helping other people and don't do that. There's something wrong with the power. Something wrong with the power working in their lives. They sacrificed for the church in verses 36 and 37, having land, sold it, and brought the money. I mean, laid it down at the apostles' feet. Let me tell you something. That church did something not because those people were any different than people of the day. The difference was that God got a hold of their heart and the Holy Spirit convicted them and they realized what I have belonged to Almighty God. He gave it to me. He gave me the health. He gave me the strength. And for His work, I'm willing to set aside me and sacrifice for what He is building and allow me to be a part of it. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except God gets a hold of hearts that realize He is preeminent. And those people in that local church allow God to get a hold of their heart, will never sacrifice, will never suffer for the cause, will never have one accord. You'll never have unity unless God works in the heart of His people. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, for just a moment. Except the Lord build the house, He wants to build His house upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ. God will always be first. He wants His power to work in the lives of peoples where we become consistent in unity, courageous in our witnessing, committed to sacrifice for the Lord, sacrifice for others, sacrifice for the church. Paul writing to the church of Corinth, that great church that he established. I want you to notice what he said in verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of the world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? Now notice verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. You ought to underline this in your Bible if you haven't. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Except the Lord build the house upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, and except the Lord build the house upon the preaching of Jesus Christ, we labor in vain. We're not going to build the church with a choir. You're not going to build the church with a great school. You're not going to build a church with a great daycare. If a church is built where sinners are saved and lives are changed, it's going to be because of the preaching of the Word of God. God Himself saw fit to see people saved by the preaching of the Word of God. One great thing we've had for 30 long years. You get people into those doors and they sit here for 30, 35, 40 minutes and sometimes 45, sometimes 50, and sometimes 60. If they stay in here long enough and that book is open and somebody stands behind that pulpit and they start preaching the Word of God, I haven't seen anybody saved just by singing, anybody saved by speech. But let me tell you something. You get the book up there and you tell people about Jesus Christ and you preach it and you preach it and you preach it. I've seen people hold on to the pews. I remember 1984 Sharon Zell in the old building were sitting back there. She was the only white person in the church that night, holding on to the back pew there. And I was preaching from Acts chapter 16. And I mean, she was holding on. You could see her. There, see her there, holding on. And the preaching of the word of God got a hold of her heart. And finally, at the last pew in the church, in front of all of those dark people, she got up and walked all the way down the aisle and got saved. A little bit later on, I led her mom to the Lord and led her dad to the Lord, who was from Kentucky at the time and didn't really have a whole lot to say about black people, and got saved. Went up to this funeral home and preached there. And 30 people in that funeral home, including the funeral director, got saved. Preaching of the Word of God. Preaching. Except the Lord build the house upon the preaching of the Word of God. And by the way, it takes the preaching of the Word of God for sinners to get saved. It takes the preaching of the Word of God for saints to surrender. Now listen to me and take this on my way out so I can say this. There are people that have sat in this church for years and years and years, and they're not growing spiritually because they're not responding to the preaching of the Word of God. Let me tell you something. If you can't change from the preaching, you won't change from reading books. You won't change from all the other things that we do. If you can't get preached at hard enough to get convicted enough to find yourself down here at the altar to get right with God, mark it down. Take it from somebody who's been doing it 30 years and watching it for 35 years. People who don't respond to the preaching don't get better spiritually. You mark it down. I can count the people here over 30 years who haven't grown spiritually, and they're the same people that never respond to the preaching of the Word of God. You mark it down. Never go to the altar. Never get convicted. No message ever moves them. No message ever stirs them. And God says that the preaching of the Word of God will get people saved, get people surrendered, get people separated. It'll straighten out lives, because that's God's plan for building something. Nothing moves, motivates, stirs, changes, convictions than the preaching of the Word of God. And I've seen people that didn't do a whole lot of other things in the church, but have always been sensitive to the preaching of the Word of God. I'll take that person over somebody who sings well, talks well, gives well, but never responds to preaching. And by the way, you ought to respond to preaching no matter who's preaching. It's not the person you're responding to. It's the preaching of the Word of God. For those of us who believe, why do I go? The reason we go to church as Christians is we plug in to something that's going to boost me to help me go out and keep running where I run out of juice all the time. So if I'm not plugging in when I go to church, I'm not going to run on a battery that hadn't been charged. And the preaching is what charges people. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've seen struggles and struggles where people have responded to the preaching of the Word of God, and it's made them a better Christian, made them a better husband, made them a better father, made them a better family. It's the preaching of the Word of God. That's how God builds His church. And by the way, I don't think that will ever happen with the preacher you all have here now. But if he would ever start substituting something from the preaching, you call me up. Come take my job back. Preaching. Preach the Word of God. It makes all of them. And by the way, nobody's ever going to love all the preaching you do. Don't worry about it. People are not going to love everything, agree with everything, but preach it. Preach the Word of God. And be consistent, because that's God's plan. That's God's program. I'll tolerate a whole lot of things in the church if somebody's preaching. Then lastly, except the Lord build the house, must be built upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus Christ, must be built upon the preaching of Jesus Christ. And lastly, Acts chapter 2, when the Lord builds His house, He builds it upon the people of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, when Peter was preaching,
for those 16 different dialects of Jews. He said in verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?' Then Peter said unto them, 'Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.' And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, 'Save yourselves from this untoward generation.' Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it." He builds a house upon the preeminence of Jesus Christ. The church must always keep Jesus number one. No matter how great you think the preacher may be, it's all about him. It's always about hiding behind the cross. Church has to have the power of Jesus Christ. You won't change people with personalities. You won't change people by talking to them and instructing them. You change people when they take that word, and through God's power, it changes their heart. The preaching of the Word of God saves souls, causes people to surrender, causes people to separate from the world. But fourthly, if the church is built by Jesus Christ, it's built upon the people of Jesus Christ. You see, the church started out with 11 disciples, then 120, then 3,000, then 5,000 got saved, and then multitudes of men and women got saved. And the church was built upon people, saved people, people who were converted sinners. That means they got saved. They weren't conformed people. They weren't just concerned people. They weren't confirmed people. They weren't confused people. They were people who knew they were sinners. They got saved by the grace of God. It's amazing. They came from all walks of life, heard the preaching of the Word of God, and got saved. They got converted. Then after they got converted, they became consistent. In other words, they loved what saved them and wanted more of what they heard. They started coming to Sunday school. They started coming to Sunday morning and Sunday night. I remember when we first started down at church, we used to have this family. They used to come, 10, 11, 12 of them. They would come on Sunday morning. They wouldn't come Sunday night. It seemed like every Sunday morning they came, and I was preaching on consistency of the church. It looked like you were always singling them out. But after a while, they started coming to Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then we moved out here and they came. You see, that's how God builds his church. He get converted sinners who get consistent as servants, get convicted about their sins, and all of a sudden you see those people grow up as converted sinners that are now consistent saints. You see them become Sunday school teachers and choir members and ushers. You see them start giving and start praying. And all of a sudden, you're no longer going out just you and your wife knocking on doors. You got another couple here, and you got some singles here and some single parents. And all of these people come together and you form what is called a living organism, the local New Testament church. See, some of you are getting into something that's already established. You weren't here at the very beginning when
visitation might have been just the preacher and his wife and the family and the kids. And then all of a sudden you start preaching the Word of God, you see more people start getting as foolish as you are about this thing called saved and enjoying and serving the Lord. And we used to get a van and live in Virginia and drive all the way to D.C. and get over there and soul winning in D.C. and come back and live in Virginia, and kept doing that for 20 months. And when the Lord said, "You dummy, you're not supposed to be over here. Don't you realize that? Not you living over there." And so we opened up the door. We finally got wise enough to understand that it didn't make a whole lot of sense to take the church all the way to D.C. and have church and then drive all the way back to Virginia to live. So, da-da. Anyway, when I realized that, we finally got wise enough to come over here. But God builds His church upon people of Jesus Christ. And I don't have time tonight. I won't take time tonight. But I could stand here for hours and hours and hours and tell you over 30 years of the people that I've seen God change and lives have been built. And I can remember times when you would just... You need somebody. I've never been great with preaching to children. I'm not funny, they say. I'm not funny enough. I don't joke enough. I don't. What's that word you say when somebody like me? There's a word for it. You go ahead and say you're not being disrespectful. You don't when you don't. You know you're not funny. What's it called? Come on. Not dry. I'm not dry. Listen, I'm not going to go into you find the word that I'm looking for. Not too serious. It's somewhere along the line. You don't like, you tell a joke, and it doesn't catch it. Not slow. I'm not slow either. Oh, sense of humor. Thank you. It doesn't have a sense of humor. Yeah. Thank you. So, you're not good with kids. You say, "What do? You preach hard and pray hard, and you start having children. God gives you somebody who's good with children." Yeah, and sometimes they're good with children, they're not good with adults. So you put them with children. Yeah. Anyway, you get He gives you what you need to build a church. You know, you can't sing, and you can't song lead. And you get up there for 2 years, and once you find out, you don't know for 2 years because God's grace protects you, and you don't know that people are laughing at you because they respect the man of God so much they won't tell him. But then once he finds out that you are not as good as you thought you were, you get up in the mirror practicing all the time, and people just smiling at you. You think you're doing a real good job, and you find out that you're not doing a real good job. Then you become embarrassed. So what does he do? He supernaturally raises up Michael to take my place. He did. Raised up. Didn't have a piano player. They raised up Pastor Kenny, was 13. And on and on and on. And he gives you somebody like Auntie Rose or on your nursery. And all of these kind of things. He builds his church upon people. People of all walks of life. And when he builds those people, and here's the hurting thing in 30 years, the most disappointing to any pastor. You see God change lives and get people going, and those same people, after a period of time, stop as if God didn't do anything. That's not the God that we serve. The God that we serve, who builds lives, also keeps lives. Now, I'm being honest, and I'm finished with this. I've been saved 35 years. Been preaching 32 years. I've gone through as much as any fundamental preacher walking on 2 feet of different things. There's never, ever been a day when I haven't 100% enjoyed being a Christian. I've never wished I could go back. I've never, even in the hard times financially, I've never wished I was back running those two businesses where I could literally do anything financially I wanted to. You should have worked with me back in those days. Neither you came along too late. Back in those days, I would secretary in my office, it was nothing for me to write her Christmas check for $5,000-$10,000 as a Christmas bonus. Y'all working for the wrong... Can't do that with church money, sister. I would. But you don't long for those things when you find Jesus. You don't long for more power, more of Jesus. You get upset when you're not doing as much as you want to do, but never longing for an old life, because God built something. When He snatched me out of the miry clay, and if He'd never done anything else but gave me peace in my heart that I was going to heaven, I would have served Him the rest of my life.
Amen.
But I cannot outline or tell you all the great things that God has done for His children, because He builds people. He builds people. And let me give you some parting advice from a preacher who preached to you for a long time. If you're slipping spiritually and you're going backwards in your Christian life, somewhere along the line, you know those faucets you turn on, you got hot and cold, and the hot water's coming out here. Well, what you did when the hot water was coming out here, you reached over there and turned on the cold water, and you got the temperature down just enough to fit you. And you started that sitting right in the pew, refusing to respond to the preaching of the Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God always, there's never a time as a preacher that I sit and hear a message that I don't find something in it that I need. Because God builds His church. Except the Lord build the house. This house, your house, my house, your family, my family, your young person, your children, except the Lord build them. Everything else you do, you labor in vain. And by the way, if He builds it, you better want God to keep it. Keep it watching all the time. And the way you keep Him watching all the time is you keep Him preeminent in your life. I know Crossroads Baptist Church is a great, wonderful place. And I am so excited and so thrilled to see what God's going to do in weeks and months and years to come. Because in my time here, I've always tried to keep Jesus preeminent. I've always desired to have people respond, not because they're afraid of the preacher, but because God gets into their life. Because you walk out of these doors, and if you don't have the power of God to survive, you won't make it. I've always tried to keep the preaching where it ought to be. And I've seen it work where God has built people that He's brought together in this local New Testament church that I would stack up against any fundamental church, any place in the world. I'll stack this group up against it, because without a doubt, God has built this church, and God will keep it so that we won't wake up one day in vain. Let's bow our heads in prayer.